And Father God, that is our prayer this morning. This is our Christmas gift to you back, is that we come here together as a church and to worship you and to bow down before you. For God, you did come humbly to this earth that you created in a way that most will never understand, most will never comprehend, most will miss. But I pray today, and I pray tomorrow, and I pray for the rest of our lives, we'll never forget that you are Emmanuel, that you are El Shaddai, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, for you are the chosen Lamb of God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are Christ, our King. And this service is for you. We give you everything that we have this Christmas for you, because you have given us everything. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. And Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being here at Living Hope Baptist Church. Knowing the fact that you could be anywhere, and you chose to be at Living Hope to worship together with us, I'm truly grateful for you being here. This is the day. I think you know it. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. In Psalms 118:24, the psalmist King David prophetically wrote these unbelievable words because of the triumphant entry of the King of Kings. Now, he wrote this as he came in humbly on a donkey, but he had to come humbly first to a stable with donkeys around. I love the fact that in John 12, 14 through 15, it says, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. And as it is written, do not be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming riding on a donkey's coat. First, on a manger, in a manger. And the second entry, the ones that people in Jerusalem would still not understand, would still not get, not comprehend, that why would a king come like this? Why would a king come the way that he came, as a baby in a lowly place, in a stable? Why would a king come like that? Maybe it is what Mike said. God has a sense of humor. Maybe God has a plan that sometimes we just can't get. Unexpected plans that we just can't sometimes just be able to see. But we need to all rejoice and be glad in it, for you have chosen this morning to bring your gift. You being here and worshiping the Lord is a gift to Him. You know, for you, you might have just said, well, I just woke up this morning and I got dressed and I just decided to show up because it was Christmas Eve. But you need to understand, it is a true gift to the Lord that you are here sitting before and worshiping the Lord through music and through your offerings and through the Word of God and everything that He has declared and everything that He has hoped for and everything that He's wanted you to do, you're doing it right now. It's His gift. What a great gift to give to the Lord Almighty. Let's continue to give this gift to Him. Not just today, not just tomorrow. Let's continue to give this gift throughout the year. And let's continue to show this gift to other people that may just not know who He is. As I mentioned at the candlelight service, if you might have been here, I said, let's not have any remorse this Christmas. There's a lot of times in life we have remorse over different things. As I was saying before, you know, at the candlelight, sometimes it's spending a little bit too much money and we go a little overboard. Maybe it's possibly we prepare too much food and we eat way too much. I want you to know I started working out yesterday. You probably can tell, I imagine. I'm wearing a bigger sweatshirt, but you can probably tell. I worked out for 7 minutes yesterday. This is what I did. And 30 seconds this morning in front of Jamie, 7 minutes. I even used some dumbbells last night. I feel like a man. I really did work out 7 minutes. That's God's number. It's a number of completion. It's total, if those of you that don't know. It can be hard for many of us this time of year not to feel a little bit overwhelmed. Our lives for the next few days and tomorrow are going to get interrupted with plans that we didn't make. Some are going to have some delays on the road or airport travel. Maybe you're expecting people to come in. Some are going to be sick and in the hospital. The one we've been praying for, Camille, she's on her way home today. Yeah. I received a text just a little while ago. Some are going to get called into work. Some are already working at places, and the police and the military and our fire crew and the hospitals and doctors and so many people that are working. You may have to work because your boss is expecting you to come in. Some of you are possibly going to have some unexpected visitors possibly show up at your house to celebrate the holidays and Christmas that you never saw coming. Have you ever wondered how so many people got involved in the Christmas story? Have you ever wondered why the persons or those people got chosen? When I started thinking about the Christmas story, when I started thinking about everyone that was handpicked to be a part of the actual Christmas story, it makes the Christmas story even that much meaningful and purposeful and amazing. Christmas was born with one big heavenly interruption. And so will yours. So will your life be interrupted by many different things that you never see coming. And I want to share this Christmas Eve. I want to share about three interruptions that you'll see as we open up our books to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Let's open up the Word of God. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Three different types of interruptions that we see through the Christmas story. Now, there's a whole lot of them, but I want to just choose three. Three of just some of my favorite ones to be able to watch how God chooses His particular people for the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 11. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the peoples together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem in Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' I don't think so. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, watch this, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was, where Jesus Christ was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced, an exceedingly great joy. I can only imagine their eyes. I can only imagine their faces at this point. And when they came, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented their gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. God chose the wise men, those gift-bearing magi, these mysterious visitors from the east who would come to Jerusalem looking for the child whose star they observed now leaves to follow the same star to Bethlehem. The word Bethel in Hebrew is the house of God. When you stare at the star, when you stare and you begin to think about where Bethlehem is, when you begin to think about the word Bethel, the house of God, and Lehem means bread. The house of bread is where the bread of life is held. Of all places, anywhere in the world that could have been prophetically this baby to be born, the Son of God, the bread of life. Jesus, later on in John 6:35, says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, will never be thirsty. Whoever believes in me will never thirst again. I want to ask you, are you hungry or thirsting for Christ in your life? There's oftentimes we can come to church or we go and we live our everyday life and we never, ever, possibly, ever hunger or thirst for Christ because we're filled with so much other garbage. But the problem is that when the garbage goes away, there's always something more that we want. There's always a hole that continues to allow that just to continue to flow out. There's always this one thing that we want to fill up with our lives, and it may be money, and it may be jobs, and it may be relationships, and it may be all different types of things and substance abuse and different things that we fill up our lives, and we think that that's going to cut it, that that's going to do it. But when it all goes away, we always begin to crave this one thing. Some will find it, and some won't. But Jesus Christ himself says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Today, have you shown up at the house of bread? Is this today maybe your Bethlehem? Many of you guys will have to go far. The fact that you woke up and you had to come some distance. Sometimes in life, you may have to go through some things in your life. You may have to go through some distance and some time. You may have to meet, and maybe you have met, with the wrong king. But have you come and met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that will fill you? After giving their three gifts and worshiping Jesus in the manger, they depart from their homeland, never to be heard of again. There's going to be times in our life where people will come into your life and you will never see them and you're wondering, well, that was weird. There's going to be times in your life where you are going to get handpicked from God and you are going to enter your life into someone else's and you're going to go, well, that was very strange. Why did I even meet those people? For us, personally, here at the church, we met a Muslim family that came, and her name was Dahlia. She had several kids. We set up an angel tree. We did all these things. I went and met with them, with David and Sandra and my wife, and we did all these things for them because they were getting kicked out of their home, and we thought we would do everything in our power to help them. And I met with the management, and I went through everything and spent over 15 hours of my time never to hear from them ever again. And I asked the question that many times you ask, why, God? But it took me back to the time in our apartments, and David and Sandra were listening, and I said this, I want you to know why we're here. It's only because of Christ. If you never hear anything else, if you don't understand why we're here, I want you to know it's because of Christ. Maybe that will come back. That was my gift, truly, was to show what Christ would have done. Maybe the reason why God chooses you is because you're the only Christ that they will ever see. How far will you go? How far did these people go? These wise men. It was not just three men. It was not just three. And it wasn't three women. Because they had three gifts. Maybe they were just the only three people that could carry the gifts. I don't know. It could have been easily up to 12 to 36 people. The real culture, the real way that it needs to be read and understood in the Word of God. From the area of what is called current day Iran, the word wise is a good word to describe these men because these men were from Persia. They were high scholars. They knew the law. They knew the code very, very well. The word magistrate comes from the word magi. They were considered the greatest scientists, the greatest mathematicians, the greatest philosophers, doctors, and legal authorities in their caravan. It was the greatest of all human people that could have carried van and gone to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God handpicked up to 12 to 36 people on this caravan that would have been under every single type of great occupation to be able to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why them? Why did God choose them? See, God used these men to see the evidence and the proof that many humans would discount in their own personal lack of faith. If they just used common men, common peasants, common farmers, just common workers, people probably wouldn't have bought into it. People might have not believed. But instead, God hand chose and said, I'll tell you what, I will handpick the top people that you look at in your human minds that you think is the best of the best, and I will handpick these people, the ones that you're not going to argue with, the ones that you're not going to discount their truth. I'll handpick them to go to see the way, the truth, and the life. So God went to the main source. God chose the Magi so there would be no misunderstanding. Nobody was going to discount. No one would discount at all these noblemen. I love how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 1:19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and I will frustrate the intelligence of the intelligence. See, God uses the star with the Magi because it cannot be explained. It only could be explained as miraculous. It couldn't be done by hand. It couldn't be done by the mind. It couldn't be done by works. It couldn't be done by conjured up tricks. God said, let me use the star. Let me use something that no man, including even the Magi, that no one could discount as only as miraculous, a miracle from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Psalms 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows the handiwork. No magicians, no astronomers, no one of any type of witchcraft could conjure up this miraculous event. Only the Heavenly Father. Interruption number two. God chose Mary. There are some denominations that put a lot of stock into Mary. Now, granted, she did carry the Son of God, but she was not the Son of God. She was just a normal person, just like you and I. A normal person, a person that believed in God, a person that worshiped God. And what I love about this miraculous, handpicked person is the fact that I look at it is that God could also handpick you and I as well. There was nothing so much spectacular or extraordinary about Mary and Joseph that said, this is why I'm going to pick Mary. She's a child of God that had the child of God. Talk about irony. But this time God did not choose to send an angel of Gabriel to the temple like I shared last week, where Zechariah goes into the temple and he's one of the main priests that gets to go in and have an angel experience and everybody's outside praying. Here, Mary is by herself in this particular situation and probably a humble situation, as it always is. Instead of God that chose also Nazareth, situated 70 miles northeast of Jerusalem, a very humble place, a very humble person. Nazareth, off the main route between Jerusalem and Tyre. This was the main location. This was the main caravan where people would actually travel. It's through Nazareth. Nobody really wanted to stay in Nazareth. Nobody ever wanted to have anything to do with Nazareth. But yet, God chose an unlikely place to pick his person. God chose a particular person out of what we would never look for. Sometimes we think that we need to go for the best people. Let me tell you something. Pretty much all the churches, when you're looking for people and on staff, you wouldn't ever really pick the people that God actually picked. We would be looking for high-degree people, very talented, gifted orators, people with tons of experience. Isn't it crazy how Jesus decided to pick everything contrary to that? Why? Because he wants to show how extraordinary he is to work through anybody. Never get to a place in your life that you think you've ever arrived, and never get to a place that you think you're too low that God cannot use. You need to watch out. God is about to use you. Nazareth was just a common place. Matter of fact, there was a lot of immorality. It was like the truck stop. There was a lot of just inns that was located in this area. Nathanael even said, can anything good even come out of Nazareth? Is it even possible? I mean, you had a population of around 400 to 600 people, and nobody really wanted to live there and hang out there. You just went through it. You never stuck around very long. You just decided to go through, but it was a stopping place, and it was an immoral place, but God chose Mary. God chose Mary. A teenage peasant girl, hand-picked, in a time when she was alone. There's rarely only a couple times when you were ever alone as a woman back then, either when you were in your house or when you were drawing water from a well. And God showed up. His angel showed up. And Mary said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Now, those aren't the words that she actually used, but I was kind of thinking about that. Because she said this, Luke 1:43, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Do you ever ask the Lord that? Do you ever ask the Lord, why me? Why am I so favored? Or maybe you're asking yourself, why not me? Why him? Why her? How did that person get picked? How in the world did Troy ever get picked to be able to get up there? Why me? Why them? Do we ever compare ourselves to other people in other positions? And we sometimes forget that God has a plan on how and why he does what he does. The families that you're a part of, why you? Why are you in that particular family? God has handpicked you to be a part of that family for some particular purpose. But God has a perfect plan, and he did all the way back from Genesis 3:15. Her life now is completely getting interrupted. I mean, she was just living there. She was doing her duty. She was just living her life. She was betrothed. She was about to get married. She had plans. I don't think her plans were what Jesus' plans were, what God's plan was. Do you ever have your plans? Do you ever have something that you have laid out and you've been thinking about it? You've been praying about it? You've been hoping for it? You've been saving for it? You've been doing everything you can, and all of a sudden your plans get interrupted? And you're just like, well, that's not really what I had in store. And you're trying to figure out, but you know the question that you're asking, why, God? Why is this happening to me? I think Mary was probably asking that. Mary, the mother of Jesus, a virgin, but one that truly believed in God and was obedient to his will. And later on, you see the praises and the songs. Many of these people that God has chosen has songs that they sang, and this is Mary's song. Luke 1:46 through 48 says this, "And my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble servant. He remembered me. From now on, all the generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Did she take credit? Did she do something? Did she earn the favor? Did she work hard enough? Did she worship long enough? Did she give enough? No. It wasn't about her. It was all about God's handpicked. And it's never going to be about us either. It's never going to be about us. It was never about just who Joseph and Mary was. Yes, they were in the lineage of David, but so were other people. God handpicked them for a reason. God is handpicking you for a reason. Can I ask you, church, what are you singing about this morning on how God has chosen you? How are you blessed this morning? You woke up. You chose to come to church. You chose Christmas. From generations to come, what will you be thanking God for? Over and over, we look at the different scriptures and we look and see how God uses different people. And my favorite person that was handpicked was probably Noah. You try building an ark out in the desert, and you're having these questions like, why? You think about how his life was interrupted a little bit. Could you imagine God asking you to do something so crazy, so strange, so out of the ordinary, something that did not make any sense, but you are obedient to do it no matter what? Has anyone ever called you loco? Has anyone ever called you crazy for doing what you're doing because you know that it was actually inspired by the Word of God to do it? I can only imagine what he was thinking. And I can only imagine when he was in the boat when the flood came. I bet you he was singing. I bet you he was singing. Interruption number three and the last as I close. God chose the Bethlehem shepherds. The shepherds, they had no expectations of excitement whatsoever. These are sheep. They are watching. They are very, very much dumb animals. We count sheep to go to sleep. Some of you are counting sheep right now. I'm watching you. Some of you are already at 400. Just a quick little story. I had to go to the doctor the other day. I went to a sleep study doctor. A sleep study doctor. The lady comes in, and as she's talking to me and Jamie about my sleep, she was like, okay, so you're having a sleeping problem. And so and she kept closing her eyes like she was asleep. I was like, she's really good at this. Or we are definitely at the right place. Literally, I thought the lady fell asleep three times while she was talking to me. It was the weirdest thing. We were just like looking at each other, trying not to laugh. But I was like, this is funny. This is really funny. And then I asked her a question. I said, so the pill that I'm taking, does it make you gain weight? She goes, well, are you trying to gain weight? I was like, yes. That's exactly what I'm doing. I've been trying to gain weight for the past 10 years. I was thinking, how do I get my $50 back for this thing? It was a comical thing. Could you imagine how boring it was for the sheep to sit there and just look at sheep? I couldn't imagine these shepherds that's what they do. They just count the sheep and they take care of the sheep and they look after the sheep. I mean, they treasured the whole idea of predictability. They don't want interruptions. No interruptions was a great thing. That's perfect. You don't have interruptions. And then at night, you have to really be awake. The night shift was the worst because during the daytime, they would go and they would graze and they would take them and they would go and get them fed and they would put them back into the gate. And the shepherds would actually be the gatekeeper. And they'd have to count and make sure that they were taken care of. They didn't want any bad excitement happening. No wolves, no lions. Definitely no one stealing the sheep. It was always a possibility, though. It was always a possibility that their life was going to get interrupted in the midst of trying to be bored. All we want to do is be bored. We just want to count the sheep and go to sleep. That's it. No interruptions. But they would wander off at times. And the shepherds at times would have to leave. And they would have to leave their hundreds and have to go and search for the one. But they don't mind because they have to go after the one. Because they know what's out there. They know that if they fall down, they can't pick themselves back up. They know if they get attacked, that they cannot defend themselves. There's no way. They have to. The shepherd has to go find his sheep. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, like sheep, I go astray and I wander off at times in my life and I forget about Christmas. I forget about why I'm here. I forget that I'm supposed to be with the rest of the sheep. I forget what my purpose is in life. I forget that I'm supposed to, at a time and later on, I'm supposed to be a resource for other people as a sheep. But sometimes I don't want to be found. Sometimes I go off so far that I don't want the shepherd even to find me. But I can tell you, these shepherds, they're masters. They know what they're looking for. They know what they sound like. They can hear their cries from a distance. they would leave all of them just to be able to find that one. It's possible that some of us have wandered so far that we think there's no way God is going to find me. Let me tell you something. He never lost you. He never lost you. He's the prodigal dad that has his hands open wide and says, there's nothing that you could ever do for me not to welcome you back. Lives get interrupted. Luke 2:9 says, then the angel of the Lord stood before them. These are the shepherds. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shining around them, and they became very frightened. Sometimes we assume the worst before we look at God's best. Can I tell you something? Never pity too long. Never pity too long. God is working in your life. I'm not saying for us not to be down and out. I'm not saying that we don't go wandering off. I'm not saying that we don't get upset. But I am saying that your shepherd, the Lamb of God, is coming after you. Has never left you. Never forsaken you. Never will. He's always going to be there for you. Never pity too long, because he's right there with you. And I'm glad that these shepherds lingered around. Even though the angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shining around them and they became frightened, I'm glad they still stuck around. I'm glad they didn't wander off anymore. Because the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David our Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. Luke 10:2-13. Church family, as I close, you want to know why this interruption is so amazing for these shepherds? Watch this. These weren't just shepherds. These were the Levitical shepherds. Their whole job that God chose these Levitical shepherds is because these were the very lambs to be sacrificed into the temple. And when it was time for a lamb to be born, the lambs that they were raising, these shepherds would take swaddling cloths, and right when they were born, they would wrap them to keep them from being spot, to keep them from any blemishes, to keep them from getting hurt, to keep them from running off, to keep them pure. These Levitical shepherds were there at the very moment that these lambs were born and swaddled them with clothes. And I can only imagine their expression. I can only imagine their faces when they arrived at the exact location that God chose them, at the exact same place with the Magi, with Jesus, with Mary and Joseph. And all of a sudden they looked down, and the place that they would have their own lamb swaddled with clothing is the Lamb of Jesus Christ himself. What they saw was the Passover Lamb of God, who would come and die and pay the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. The same thing that those lambs were there for. Do you see the hand of God from the beginning? Do you see the hand of God of why he chose each person? Do you see the hand of God prophetically in every area was perfect planned? Genesis 3:15 was there. Micah 5:2 is here. Isaiah 7:14. All there. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold and frankincense and myrrh and all the others." It's not the gifts that you were redeemed from the empty way of life and handed to you from the ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, the Lamb of God came for you and for me. This Christmas, this year, and the years to come, your life is going to get interrupted. Don't get upset. Look for the star. Look for people that just got involved in your life. And look for the Messiah to show up. I believe He's going to do something special in your life. I believe He already has done something special for your life. He chose you. He chose you. He chose you. And please don't ever forget that. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Our Father God, this is your day. And I'm so grateful to be able to share this day with all my family and friends here. Father, we are reminded that you are the Lamb of God. We are reminded that you are the shepherd that goes after his sheep. We are reminded that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Today our life was interrupted. Tomorrow our life will be interrupted. But we thank you for that. Because when we see it happen, we'll know that you have something to show us. You may have something to give us. And you may have something to tell us. I pray that there is not one single person here today that walks out of here and does not understand, that does not comprehend that they have been chosen by you. This is a time right now that we give back to you our hearts. It's our gift to you, Lord. It's a time right now for families to reunite. It's a time right now for us to reunite with you. Let us not have any remorse. Let's not have one remorse to miss Christmas. For we are at Bethlehem, and you are our Word of God, and you are the bread of life. May we hunger and thirst for you only. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.